Hello, everybody. I'm Casey Forbes.
And I'm Sarah Cuvion.
And welcome to Let the Good Crumbs Roll. And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to everybody.
We're recording right now. It's that lost week between Christmas and New Year's.
So. But it's wonderful because, like, everything is shut down.
And I love it.
Me too.
There's no traffic anywhere.
Kids aren't in school.
I don't have to wake up early.
I don't have to go to work.
Exactly.
I don't have to focus on work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Sarah was just showing me, and we're going to take a picture and put it on our Facebook and Instagram accounts, what her friend Megan.
Okay, so Casey and I are both hashtag blessed with December birthdays. And I'm saying that sarcastically because
Because it only comes once a year.
It's a chore. Like, to compete with Santa and Jesus, it's a chore to have a December birthday.
I know.
But my friend Megan never forgets my birthday. And she got me this book called The Ultimate Serial Killer. It's a trivia book by Jack Rosewood. And I haven't been able to dig into it, but I'll just read you like a little did you know. Did you know Jack the Ripper was one of the first serial killers to capture the public imagination and was considered to be a disorganized sociopath?
A disorganized? I mean, I agree with the sociopath.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
They never caught Jack the Ripper, did they?
Sociopathic serial killers tend to blitz attack their victims to gain immediate control of the situation. I'm going to delve into this. We're probably going to get some content from this, so I'm very excited about it.
Highlight and like put little stickies for like some of your best quotes.
Yes, absolutely.
And we'll go into them. The gift that I gave myself yesterday was...
Tell me about this.
I binge watched The Golden Palace.
The
Golden
sequel.
Girls did a spinoff after The Golden Girls ended because the woman who played Dorothy, Bea Arthur, she left the series. I think she was having some health problems, if I'm not mistaken. So there was, I call it the eighth season of The Golden Girls. I've never watched it from start to, it's 25 episodes.
Well, way back when, they used to, like, shows used to have 20-something shows in a season.
Yes.
Not anymore.
And the content was fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm just really depressed because, like, everything I had been reading online, because I'm like, why did this get canceled? It got canceled after one season. So here's the premise of it. So it starts out, they sell their house, you know, the iconic Golden Girls house, and they buy a hotel on the Miami Strip. They move into the hotel. So by they, I mean Blanche, Rose, and Sophia. And then already there is a guy by the name of Roland, who is played by Don Cheadle.
What?
And he almost encompasses Dorothy's persona. Like, he's like the straight talker. He's the ethical one. Uh-huh. He's the manager of the hotel.
Okay.
Because these girls don't know what the hell they're doing and they need someone to help do it. So, and then we have Chewy, who is the cook, who is played by Cheech and Chong.
Cheech Marin, whatever his name is.
And then popping in every now and then is some kid who I guess Don Cheadle's character, Roland, is like fostering. But he's not in every episode, so it's a little confusing. The show was fabulous.
Really?
Yes. And I'm like, why did this not get renewed? And so, of course, I Googled it, and they said it was going to be renewed, but at the last minute, due to not a lot of people watching it, like, maybe people were just kind of depressed about Bea Arthur leaving and didn't really give it a chance, that they decided not to renew it because the viewership was low.
People don't like change. And actually, I've never actually seen an episode, but I knew it existed.
So good.
Because my friend Megan is a Golden Girls fan as well.
Girl, I think I'm she not told a fan. Me about it. I'm a fanatic. In fact, one of the things I want to start with the new year is I want to start, like, when we do an episode, we're not going to do it today because I'm not prepared. I would love to do a Golden Girl Minute where I start with season one, episode one, and under like 2 minutes, go in and like give a recap of the episode in all of its finest. But we can go through all seven seasons. Mm-hmm. It's going to take us probably the majority of the year, and then do the Golden Palace. Like, we'll start the episode or we can put it at the end where it can be like, so, you know, we just heard this really dark, sad story and we can end it on a high note. So tell me what y'all think. I want to know what y'all think. Should we do the Golden Girl Minute? Do you want to hear something funny and fun in the beginning, or would y'all rather let it be, what do they call it? Like a palate cleanser or?
Yeah, that's usually like between two things.
Yeah, so should we, I don't know, we'll have to think about that, but next week I will, when we record our episode, I'm going to do the Golden Girl Minute.
The Golden Girls, that is one show that still holds up to this day. It is still just as funny, if not more so, now than it was back then.
I, I put it on every single night to go to sleep, and I don't have to watch it. It's just the background noise. Yeah. It's so comforting. I love listening
to
them.
It's like one of those things where you've seen all the episodes, so you can put it on just to have something on, but you're not necessarily like super paying attention to it.
Well, yesterday I was just like on high on Golden Girls because I was like, it was like something I'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. Like the Golden Palace. I was like, this is so good.
You know, I probably would never watch it because I'm a person who does not like change.
I'm telling you, it is fabulous.
I bet you it
the
is.
The jokes are hilarious. I mean, they don't, the writer, it's got to be the same writers. They don't lose any of their essence because it's so funny. And then Don Cheadle and Cheech, or Chewy and the Thing, they add, like, they're funny and they totally add to it. And then, like, one of the episodes, Roland is like, I'm not one of you girls. I'm not going to sit here and eat cheesecake and gossip about sex. And then he sits down and eats cheesecake and gossips about sex. Like, it's just, it's fantastic. That's funny. So next week, y'all can enjoy that Golden Girl Minute. We'll decide whether we think it should go in the front or the back.
Yeah, we can do that in some serial killer trivia.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Just some random factoids. So that'll be fun. Okay, so this week we are starting the year off in Louisiana. I really don't know how I wasn't aware of this story because this happened while I was going to school at Southeastern, which is in Hammond.
So you were like right there.
Yeah. Like how? Like this happened the entire time that I was in college right there. That just goes to show college people, we are so into ourselves. I wish I'd have been into true crime back then.
I know.
I'd be so much further along right now.
We had actual serial killers back then around here. So.
No, we knew the scary parts.
I know.
Yeah. So this is from, it's called Murder Nation. It's season one, episode four. Murder Nation is four episodes. Mm-hmm. This one, season one, is called Blood in the Bayou. So there's four episodes dedicated to just Louisiana.
Yeah, I saw there's another one called, it's Murder Nation, but it's Jersey Gore.
Yeah. Which is so interesting.
Which made me laugh, Jersey Gore.
I know.
This is like, this episode was the first one I had watched of any of these. So,
yeah.
But I liked it.
There's
really
another episode that I watched. I didn't watch two of them because it talks about stuff we've already covered. So I'm like, I'm good to go on that one.
Yeah.
But there was another one that we need to do. It was about a woman who's like I think they called her the Black Widow of New Orleans.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you remember?
Interesting.
Do you remember her name?
I do not. But I did watch it and I was like, wow, this is a good one. So I did this one first because Covington is right there, but the other one's in New Orleans. But
yeah, they're both kind of like right there.
Just an FYI, Covington, if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, I don't know if anybody watch it, Jovi and Yara.
Yes.
They moved out of New Orleans, but this is where they moved. They moved to Covington.
When did they move?
I think in the second season.
So they're not like currently in New Orleans.
No. Remember how when she first got there and they brought baby Mila home, they were like in New Orleans. They were like above a bar in New Orleans. And then he goes to work. And when he came back, she's like, by the way, I moved us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, I'm pregnant. But
no,
yeah.
She got him with that one the first time he came home. The second time he came home, she's like, I moved us because I don't feel safe here.
That's funny.
They moved to Covington.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So. They do mention in this one that we watched today that it was a safer area just outside of New Orleans. So.
I love Covington. I have a cousin that lives there.
Yeah,
and
I think Claire's about to move to Covington, actually.
It is the cutest little community because you've got like Mandeville, you've got Covington, and you've got Madisonville.
Yeah. Madisonville is adorable.
Precious.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get started. But so our crime today takes place in Covington, Louisiana. It's a suburb separated from New Orleans by Lake Pontchartrain. Mm-hmm. So you get there via, is it the Causeway? Like, I mean, it's just a long ass bridge.
Yeah.
That separates
long ass bridge.
Covington from New Orleans. It's just a quaint bedroom community. It's a slower pace of life. Most people actually work in New Orleans, but they live in Covington because they want the hustle and bustle. They've got the good jobs in New Orleans, but they want to raise their kids in a more quiet.
Yeah, because New Orleans is like city.
Yeah.
And this is just like, you know, on the outskirts.
Absolutely. So it's not a place where people like just get murdered in their driveway.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, you know, when you go to New Orleans, it kind of smells like stale beer and urine.
I say it smells like pee.
Yeah.
And that's as the night progresses, it gets more and more like pee.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. It's just a dirty town. But
it is, yeah.
On the outskirts like Covington, it is
precious,
a nicer little community.
It's very clean. Yeah. It's December 11th, 2004, and multiple 911 calls ring in to the Covington Police Department. And some people are saying, hey, we heard gunshots. And someone else confirms to the operator, hey, there's a man who's been shot in his driveway. So when the police pull up, there is in fact a man who has been shot, and he's identified as 30-year-old Thomas Talley. He is not dead yet. He still has a heartbeat. He's breathing very shallow. So obviously the first thing is to have life-saving measures performed by the ambulance. It doesn't work. He dies in the driveway. So his wife of 2 years, her name is Kendra, she is hysterically crying. She's laying over his body. Minutes before, the neighbors say she ran up and was banging on his door and requesting help because her husband's been shot. So we then talk to Thomas's brother. His name is Mark. And Mark gets a phone call at 6 a.m. and it's from Kendra's sister-in-law, and she tells him the really sad news that his brother, who is 5 years younger than him, has been shot and killed in his own driveway. Mark, along with the rest of the community, is just floored. He must say it five times. This doesn't happen mm-hmm. here. This is a safe community. People don't get shot. This right. had to be personal. Thomas is described as just a hard worker. Like, from the day he could push a lawnmower at 15, 16 years old, he has always had a job. His main job, I guess, right now, at the time of his death, was he worked at a Pizza Hut. He was a pizza delivery man, but also on the side, he worked on cars. Mm-hmm. So he had two jobs. Once he discovered that Kendra, who at the time, I believe, was his girlfriend, not the time of his murder, she was his wife, but mm-hmm. once he discovered that she was pregnant early on in their relationship, he went into overdrive. Like, I mean, he worked 20 out of 24 hours a day. So Thomas and Kendra, you know, they had numerous friends, and everybody, including Mark, who is Thomas's brother, described Kendra as this bubbly, fun, just a good homemaker, because she cooked a mean Thanksgiving spread. And if you're from the South, that's
that means
telling.
Yeah.
Yes, because that's saved for our elderly grandparents. Yes. Who know how to cook, but they never taught us how to do it.
Yes. They just in the last 5 years started entrusting us to do some of the sides.
Right.
But we're still not allowed to do like the turkey or anything like that.
And just an FYI for all my people not from the South, my sister-in-law's from Canada. Mm-hmm. Well, every time I've ever heard the word stuffing, like, what do you think of? I think like cornbread dressing. Like,
yeah.
So my sister-in-law from Canada, stuffing is like they put this actual stuff in the turkey,
yeah,
and cook it, and yeah. It is fabulous.
Yeah,
that's what we don't do that down here.
Yeah,
down here we do.
That's why they call it stuffing, because you're supposed to stick it in the turkey, right?
Yeah, and absorb the juices from the turkey. Yeah, we don't do that down here. That's the first I'd ever. It was so good.
Yeah. Do they do that in other parts of the country, of our country?
I'm sure, like up north. I mean, you hear stuffing all the time. That's got to be what they're talking about.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure like our people just use some stovetop kind of stuff.
Right. You know? Yes. I know, because Taryn used like pieces of bread that she would tear apart.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's interesting. No, we do like cornbread dressing.
Yeah.
Mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. And then Terry's famous potato salad. Yeah. And everybody goes gaga over Terry is my mother. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes gaga over this potato salad. You know what the secret is? There's no freaking pickles in it. There's no relish. That is the secret. It is literally potatoes boiled down, mm-hmm. the skin taken off, crushed up.
Yeah.
Throw a couple eggs in there. And then mom, depending on how long the conversation is on the phone call she's having as she's cooking, that determines how much mustard and mayonnaise goes in.
Yeah.
Some salt and pepper, and that's it.
Yeah. My mom does the exact same thing, except no mustard.
Well, people go crazy. I'm like, it's mm-hmm. literally the same thing. Just quit putting freaking relish in your potatoes.
I know, right? I like a simple, because I grew up on my mom's potato salad, I prefer a simple potato salad.
Whoever said, hey, let's put a dash of relish in there, you ruined it for everybody, okay?
I mean, I'd still eat it, but...
Not me. That moment I get that... like.
Now, in my younger days, I would not have, but now that I'm like... in my late 30s. Oh, man, I'm in my late 30s now.
That'd be the one thing that, like, I just kind of push to the side and go, oh, God, I'm so full. I can't fit anymore. Yet I go get, like, 10 pounds of desserts.
Because you don't want to hurt their feelings, but...
Or, like, you go to the garbage can and you just turn the plate upside down. So they don't see
how much is on absolutely.
There.
And don't you, like, ask who made what before you scoop it?
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely always ask who made what.
Who made what?
Because that determines whether we put a big old slop.
Yeah, or just or a, you
just
know.
Just a taster that a maybe considerate, this year.
Yeah, like a considerate taste.
Maybe this year it'll
not
be
hurt
better.
Your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we don't want them to go up and you can see the spread.
Yeah.
And they're like, why is nobody eating Aunt So-and-so's mm-hmm. banana pudding? Anyway, back to the crime scene. Mm-hmm. Kendra is taken to the police station and she's a mess. Like they end up giving her a police jacket. She has no shoes on. She's walking around the police station just haphazardly, her hair all crazy. She tells the police that her and Thomas are in a happy, loving marriage. The two met at a local Pizza Hut where they both worked. They just fell in love over time. And Thomas offered Kendra the security that she really didn't have growing up. We don't dive too much deeper yeah. into that. We don't know hear a lot about her childhood. Later, we kind of hear a couple things and we're like, but mm-hmm. nothing too deep. But she explains, you know, to the police that they have a very happy marriage, you know, which I'm about to get into something else. I'm like, bitch, you lying. Lies.
The whole time I watch like these kind of documentaries, I'm always waiting for the twist because I always suspect the wife did it. The wife or the husband did it.
Like, what? Outside people tell police initially that, you know, they seem like a happy couple. They both seem like they're good parents to their son. They have a son together. You know, Kendra is still kind of young and she still likes to party. So she tells the police that the night that Thomas was killed, she actually needed to blow off some steam because he had oral surgery. I think he had some teeth pulled mm-hmm. and he was quote unquote being an asshole. So to blow off steam, which I can relate to that. Don't get me wrong. But like if my husband had surgery and he's mm-hmm. being a jerk.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just leave him. You know right. what I mean? Like you obviously can't. He's in pain. Yeah. I mean,
especially the kid's probably there. You can't just
I know.
Leave them both, you know?
Exactly. Oh, but she does. She tells the police that to blow off some steam, she calls a longtime friend. And this is so weird.
It's weird. It's so weird.
It's so strange. She calls a guy by the name of Tommy Roll. He's not a longtime friend. He's a longtime friend of her stepdad.
Yeah.
Like, I am not calling any of my dad's no. friends to hang out.
No, that would not be my first thought at all.
It's just weird.
First of all, I probably wouldn't go out and party with my husband, like,
girl,
at home. I might take a drive around the block, but
right. I might know. Go get me some yeah. the house coffee yeah. or some CC's coffee or Starbucks coffee.
Yeah.
Go get me, call a girlfriend out and be like,
exactly.
He's being such a tool bag. I yeah. just want a break. But my like, baby or, would probably be
yeah,
with me.
Yeah, would be with you or go to your mom's or something. You
I
know.
Nobody vents better than mama. You know what I mean? Exactly. Your mom's like, I told you shouldn't have married him. No, so she decides that she's going to call this guy up. He's twice her age and that they're going to go to New Orleans. So she drives across the causeway to a bar. She meets up with him in New Orleans and they party. And of course, during the night, Thomas is like blowing up her phone. Where are you at? You know, you're supposed to just be getting Dairy Queen. That was 7 hours ago. I don't think you're getting Dairy Queen. So during the night of Thomas's death, Kendra and Tommy, this is all from Kendra. This is her story. They drank. They took some drugs. After they left the bar, they stopped at a Waffle House. They're like, they stopped at an all-night establishment called the Waffle House. Like, bitch, everybody knows what a Waffle House is, okay? And it ain't an establishment.
An establishment.
It's that where drunk people go to sober up.
It makes it sound sophisticated. It's like the right. equivalent of a Taco Bell. Come
right.
on.
Forget the fact that you stepped over five piles of yeah. vomit.
That's the drunk food of the night.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's so good. Them cheesy hash browns. So she's talking with Tommy mm-hmm. and she tells the police that she told Tommy that her and Thomas have been fighting a lot and that Thomas raped her. Mm-hmm. And so the two get in the car and they go to Tommy's house. Tommy lives an hour and a half north in a little bitty town called Bogalusa. I mean, it's an impoverished town.
Yeah.
They go up there and this is where the story just like right out the gate. I'm like, as I'm typing my notes, I'm like, this is such bullshit. She's like, we drive all the way up there. He gets out and he locks me in the car.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know what it was about this truck. I just couldn't get out.
I just couldn't get out.
I didn't know, you know, today's day and age, you got the electric thing. This one, you got to pull it. And I just couldn't pull it. It was so hard to pull up. I couldn't get out the car. And so she tells police that through the window, I guess, she tells him that she's going to call the cops mm-hmm. because, you know, he's got her locked in the car.
Now, mind you, she does have her phone with you.
Yes. Because how else is she going to call the cops? So this just makes him even more angry. And he jumps back in the car and she's like, oh my God, Tommy, what you going to do now? And he's like, well, I'm going to take care of business. So according to Kendra, and again, let me just slick my eyebrows back here because I just get not what how stupid this is. She says that he ties her up, but then he ties her to the steering wheel.
To his steering wheel that he is actively driving.
Right. Yeah. Right. Down some windy ass roads.
Yeah. Now, and he's turning the steering wheel. Now, if she was tied to it, that means she'd be going all over with the steering wheel.
Right. And anytime she like flinched or something, it would screw with the steering wheel. That don't make no damn sense whatsoever. But okay, I don't know why we even went that route for some reason. I guess she wanted to be the victim. So by the time they come back from Bogalusa, it's close to 6 o'clock. So it's between like 5:30 a.m. and 6 a.m. Because remember, Mark got the call a little after 6 a.m. about his brother. So Tommy and Kendra pull up to the Tally's home, to Kendra and Thomas's house. It's so confusing. Like, Kendra, can you date like a Dick or a Bob or a, why we gotta stick with Tommy and Thomas, you know what I mean? Can you date a Jason just to like change it up a bit? When Thomas walks out, because you know they they drive up and they're honking the horn, you know, all of a sudden Tommy pushes Kendra's head down. So this makes me believe that they pull up and like Thomas in the house is on the side of Kendra, like on the passenger seat.
Right.
So according to Kendra, Tommy pushes her head down and shoots. Like, he doesn't bother to put the window down.
He just shoots out his own window.
He just shoots out his own window, get glass spraying everywhere. And then he jumped out the car and went and shot him again. And I guess, because we don't find out, you know, Kendra gets out and Tommy just takes off back to Bogalusa.
So somehow or another, like, she just now untied herself and was able to get out.
Miraculously.
Okay.
After it's been all twisted around the... Yeah. Kendra.
Okay.
You dumb. Authorities issue an arrest warrant for Tommy. The sheriff's department activates a SWAT team in Bogalusa where Tommy lives. Kendra tells them, look, he's got cameras. He could be armed and dangerous. And by the time the police arrive, he has barricaded himself in the house because his loving sister called him. And instead of saying surrender, she says, the police are coming and they're going to kill you.
She said, take care of yourself.
Like, what?
They're going to kill you.
Tommy, who are you surrounded yourself by?
These aren't the brightest crayons in the box.
No, these are awful people.
These are awful people.
So he goes, he writes a suicide note in a journal, just barricades himself in. He's saying he's not going to surrender. Well, they finally get on the phone with him. By they, I mean the police. And they're like, look, Tommy goes, I killed somebody. You know, they tell him, like, look, he's not dead. So the worst you'll get is battery. Might be a couple years in jail. You've already done that already before. So you know what that's like. Just a couple free meals. So Tommy surrenders. There's no drama. They go in. They find his suicide note, all the guns. And then they find a cell phone that doesn't work. That's because when they pop the back off, there's a bag of meth in it. Yeah.
Of course.
Like, go figure.
Like, nothing in this surprises me.
Right. So Tommy goes into an interrogation room and he gives a full confession. But his confession, like, doesn't quite match up what Kendra told him. He said that Kendra was not tied up. We all have common sense and know that's not true. She was actually sitting on the middle console of his truck and she's the one that started shooting. After she starts shooting, he got out the truck, walked around, and he finished Thomas off, is what he said. So that tells us that there should be two guns there. At first, police were like, okay, you know, not that her version sounded great, but as of the witnesses they have as of this point, she seems like a more reliable source than him.
Right.
So, but they're like, you know, we do have to follow up on what he's talking about. So the police start with Kendra's friends and they tell him that, no, that is not a happy marriage. I don't know what Kendra told y'all. She's not telling you the truth.
So those people that they initially talked to were not telling the truth either.
Either that, or it could have just been the neighbors who just kind of like Mark, the brother, who just didn't know any better. Didn't know by all accounts, they seemed happy type thing.
Okay.
But the people that know them, the people that Kendra talks to, I think one friend said that she confessed that she just was not in love with Thomas anymore. And she just preferred to be out partying in New Orleans. So on the night of Thomas's murder, there was a witness that told the police that she left her home. Kendra left her house wearing, like, quote unquote, normal clothes.
Right.
And but by the time she got to the bar, she changed into a little more risque clothing. Mm-hmm. So she's obviously like not being very truthful to her husband.
Right.
She, you know, because nobody goes to Dairy Queen wearing fishnet stockings and thigh high boots. Yeah.
And really, in, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't try to trick your husband by leaving in one outfit and then changing into another, you know?
When he's like on the couch in pain from oral surgery. So it's pretty obvious that Kendra's story to police just had a lot of information missing. And the biggest one was that Tommy and Kendra had actually been having an affair since she was 16 years old.
So gross.
So that kind of leads us to believe that, like, that's what she's talking about in her childhood. He was a friend of her stepdad. Mm-hmm. When she was 16, she fell in love with him, but her family frowned upon it. So she decided...
Because she was 16.
Right. And that's
that's gross.
Incredibly creepy. So she decided to take the more, like, secure route with Thomas, because her and Thomas were closer in age, and Thomas was just a good guy. Mm-hmm. She got pregnant, thought she was doing the right thing, but the thing was that she had never gotten over Tommy. She had always been in love with him. And so throughout their entire marriage, this affair just continued.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened that particular night to make her snap to say, okay, I'm ready to end it with Thomas. Let's go kill him.
Do you think it was a snap kind of thing? Or do you think this was like kind of planned?
I don't know. Or, I mean, they said they were on drugs.
Two guns.
Yeah. Well, he might've kept him in his truck, but
I wonder if one of them was hers though.
Girl, if this was planned, that's two of the dumbest people on planet Earth.
Like we
You're going to drive up honking?
Look, like we said, they're not exactly the brightest crayons in the box.
No, they are idiots.
On drugs and drinking. Mm-hmm. So...
Well, police kind of make the thing like, look, we're not the moral police. You know, we do think it's pretty shitty that she just left him at home with their kid when he just had mouth surgery. But looking at her, she didn't really have a history of like violence.
Yeah.
And they said, let's just wait for more evidence to come up. And more evidence did. So then the coroner's report comes back, and it's true that there are multiple gunshots from two different guns. So that coincides with Tommy's story. And also, one of the other things that was pretty smart was the police went back and pulled all the photos from that night. If you look in the passenger seat of Tommy's truck, there's glass everywhere.
Yes.
And there is no glass to be found. They took a bunch of pictures of Kendra. There's none in her hair. Mm-hmm. So obviously, if he pushed her down to shoot over her, some of the glass probably would have ended up in her hair, but none did. Which was odd.
But I'm just a little confused on that part, because her story is like she's tied to the steering wheel. So she'd be sitting in the middle.
In the middle. It's like what she's saying is he dropped her head down. Mm-hmm. And so when he shot, the glass splattered everywhere, which is shown in the photos. There was no glass on her at all. So it's like she was able to get out of the way of the shot. Like him, even so, if he pushed her down, if she's in the console, which is the middle part of it. Mm-hmm. But it goes to show, too, that what he was saying was that she shot it. Mm-hmm. So she sat far enough back to shoot it to avoid the glass.
Yeah.
And probably crawled out of the driver's seat.
I just feel like there would be glass. If she's in the truck, and either in like the middle or the passenger seat, and that window has been blown out from
a bullet. There'd be glass somewhere.
I feel like there'd be glass on her somewhere if she was in either of those spots.
Right. And there was none. And like she had big bushy hair. Yeah. So you'd think it'd be up in that hair somewhere.
It would have gotten caught. Know it would have.
Yeah.
So that, I wonder if she was even...
If she was out the car.
I wonder if she was out the car.
Like, she had to clearly know that something was about to happen to move out of way enough for the glass to not get on her.
Yeah.
The detectives decide, like, they're like, damn, like, Tommy's story is adding up more than Kendra's story by a lot. Like, the evidence is proving his story right and hers not. So Kendra gets called in again. And this, I think I would be the attorney that came with her.
Oh, my God. Okay, so... Wait, so in the video, you can see the video of this interrogation, and I thought the man who is her attorney...
Was the other detective.
I thought he was the other detective, because he was literally no help. And right as I was thinking
that... Girl, and asking her questions!
And right, I know, and right as I was thinking that, I was like, she should have asked for an attorney. That's when they say, oh, her attorney wasn't a criminal attorney.
Yeah, he was in over his head.
I was like... Well, damn.
Because the detective would like ask her a question, and the question was so stupid, and her attorney.
Yes, her attorney.
Was like, but wait a minute, that doesn't make sense, Kendra. Wouldn't you do it this way? Or he
would
like
be over here?
The detective's like, the attorney was more interested in what she was saying. He's like, oh my God, what lie are you going to cover up with this one? How are you going to get out of this? Yeah. So it's her second interview, And her story just keeps changing. Mm-hmm. There's no truth to it. They basically just let her hang herself. But the first thing that they call her out on is the timing thing. Because she says she's really quick to throw times out there. So she says, okay, we got to Waffle House at 3 a.m. We stayed there for an hour. So that's 4 a.m. Then we drove an hour and a half to Bogalusa. That's five. That would minimum 5:30.
Yeah.
Then we drove all the way back, which is another hour. So like
the timing didn't match up.
She didn't think that through. And then they confront her about her hands being tied up, because that's where it comes back to. Okay, yeah. Well, if your hands are tied up, every time he turns, you're going to get thrown
right
back into his lap, because you're going to be controlling the steering wheel when you move. And she doesn't have like a good explanation. And that's when her attorney's like, yeah, this story doesn't work, Kendra. We may need to go in the back and talk about another one.
We're going to need a minute to get this straight.
Yeah. And the detective at one point says, did you tell people that your legs were tied up too? And she's like, I mean, I might have.
She like stumbles on it. And she's like, I don't know.
And then they call her out about, she claims that she was locked in a vehicle. They look the vehicle up and down. It's not like a police car. Right. There's no mechanisms to stop her from exiting the vehicle except for her own stupidity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, wasn't it, if it was like an older truck? Because, you know, I remember my papa's old white truck. It had those locks that would go.
Oh, yeah. Up and down. Yeah.
But they weren't like, you had to like physically do it.
It could have been. I feel like
I've been locked in one of those trucks before, but I could be wrong.
You're like standing on that. You're like, why won't this come up?
You remember it was like one of those where you had like two different keys, like one to unlock your door and one to start it.
Well, they just made it sound like there was no reason she shouldn't be able to get out of there.
No, it probably wasn't even that kind of truck. So,
and then on top of it, she had her damn cell phone with her. Yeah, so, I mean, exactly. She wasn't that stuck, you know? So, like we talked about Kendra's criminal attorney, and he was no help. And he actually started asking questions with the detective.
He's just going to help the investigation. Really blew her
case out the water. So the more Kendra was pressed, her story just continued to change and would become just more and more ridiculous. It was just a hot mess. Like she would lie, and then she had to make up another lie to cover up for that lie. It was just really obvious. So when you put the evidence together in its totality, the only correct story was Tommy's. Mm-hmm. Kendra's made no sense. There was no evidence to back it up. There wasn't even like rope found at the crime scene. That's when they're like, well, damn. So the theory was that, yes, they drove up, they honked the horn to get him to come out. Kendra shoots two times, and then Thomas jumps out and he finishes him off with two more shots. Kendra was arrested. It was December of 2004. I mean, this is days after the crime. So if they've been planning this, they were really terrible planners, if you think about it. The community, including Thomas's family, is just completely shocked. Like, nobody. Kendra just hid this very well from all of them. So it takes 3 years for Tommy's trial to start in the fall of 2007. On October 25th, 2007, Tommy is convicted of second degree murder and receives a life sentence in prison. And right now in the state of Louisiana, second degree means life. That's life. That's not 25 years. I mean, it may change in the future, but as of right now, life is life. There's no benefit of parole. So right after Kendra's trial was going to start, but Tommy refused to testify and they couldn't compel him to. And without his testimony, I mean, they really don't have the conviction that they would have had with her.
Yeah.
So she agrees.
I can't believe he didn't testify.
Because he's going to jail forever.
Yeah. Because typically, like, when they need you as a witness, like, they would offer you, like, a reduced sentence or something like that. And he refused.
He refused.
That's
He must have been, like, really pedophilically in love with her.
Because so gross.
Yeah, it's just weird. But she did agree to take a deal, and she pled guilty to manslaughter. She went to jail for 10 years, and upon her release, she was 33. And she left Covington and moved to Arkansas, and she refused to comment for the show.
Yeah, as did her lawyer.
As he should.
Yeah.
Like, that video should be shown in all law schools as what not to do. So Thomas's family, despite her only going to jail for 10 years, they said, you know, we have to learn how to forgive. They do believe justice was served which I didn't really understand this. I feel like it was more her than him because, I mean, but for Kendra, he would still be alive.
Yeah.
You know, Kendra's the reason why he went there to shoot. She shot first. He finished it off. Mm-hmm. But that is the story of Kendra Talley.
That's a crazy one.
The world's dumbest murderer. No, she can. I guarantee, you know, she definitely would come in the top 10. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's no, we don't really hear a motive outside of the fact that she just wanted to be out of the marriage. And we don't really, it's like, we don't really get the what caused, why that night?
Yeah.
What happened during that night that made you say, okay, because all she said was before she left, he was being an asshole. But you can kind of understand why he was being an asshole if he just didn't feel good from, I mean, there's, we don't know, we can't substantiate whether or not he really raped her.
Right.
And you never know what goes on inside someone's house, but she didn't really, I mean, she didn't accuse him of like beating her or like when they first talked to her, she says he's a good guy. So, yeah. You know, I don't know. I feel
like there's just a lot of things that don't make sense, that don't add up with her story and her backstory.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that just don't add up. And like, I want to know, like, why this night? You know, what happened this night versus other nights that made you go, was there something coming up? I just don't get it.
Yeah, so, exactly.
If you know, let us know. Yeah. But that is the story. So this will be our first episode of 2023.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And I think February 1st, does that mark 2 years? Did we start in 2021 or 2020? Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, because we started in 2021 and I found out I was pregnant.
I guess you're right, huh?
And everybody came on the ride. That is Cade, who continues to give us a ride.
Oh my gosh.
Because he's such a mess.
He's a sweet little mess, though.
He is. All right. Well, so next week we're going to bring you, I will bring you the, let's do the one on the Black Widow of New Orleans.
Okay.
That one was interesting. And then you're going to bring a small segment, like something from the serial killer book. And then we're going to do your Golden Girl Minute. So
I love it.
And I'm going to, even though most people don't write on Facebook, please tell me if y'all would rather it be the beginning or the end.
Yeah. I think it would be good at the end.
Like after we do this, yeah.
Yeah. Just to end it on a happy note.
I know. You know? To bring us back from the deep blackness that is murder. Yeah. Have you watched any of the Love After Lockup this season?
No, I haven't.
You're missing out on it. You've got to watch it.
No, I'm still hooked on Sister Wives and that whole train wreck there.
I need to catch. I haven't watched that in years.
I know you haven't, but it's so good.
I need to know.
Because now they're one by one leaving him.
So who? There two have left and two are... Did Mary leave?
Mary hasn't made it onto the show yet. But I've read that Mary has left too.
And Mary's the one that like wouldn't leave him.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it's getting there, sister.
I mean, I don't understand the whole poly lifestyle, but to each his own, if it makes you happy, whatever. But he's just creepy.
Well, he says now like that he doesn't think it works for him. And
oh, so he wants to be married to just one woman
now? I say that. I think the assumption is with the wives that it doesn't seem like the polygamous lifestyle works for him anymore.
Yeah.
If y'all aren't, we're talking about Sister Wives on TLC and the Brown family, and the patriarch is Cody Brown and he has four wives and they're all in the process. Well, three of the four are in the process of leaving him or have left. So it is, and he's got like 20 kids or something like that. And it's just, it is a very.
It really did start to fall apart when that last wife came in, though, don't you think?
Oh, she was the catalyst for things falling apart. Now, I don't think it's because of her specifically. I think it's because of the way he treated her as opposed to the other wives.
Oh, yeah. Clearly the favorite.
She's clearly the favorite. And he even tells Christine, like, when they're in the process of like ending things, that, he wasn't romantically like in love with her when they got married. Wow. And he's like, it wasn't that way for me. And she's like, but it was that way for me.
Yeah.
Which I think if you look back, it explains why she behaved the way she did in some of the instances. Like what he perceived as jealousy was just her trying to be like, love me too.
Right.
Treat me equal, you know, but. Well,
even someone like myself who didn't watch it from day one, I watched a couple seasons and you can tell he's head over heels in love. Is it Robin?
Robin.
He's head over. You can tell. Yeah. Like I watched the season where him and her got married.
Yeah.
When he was courting her and married her. He is so in love with her and he's not like that with the other women.
No.
At all.
He's not. It's very interesting because he was legally married. Mary was the first wife and he was legally married to her. He, legally separated from her so he could legally marry Robin so he could adopt her children from a previous relationship.
But you just wonder, like, okay, so is a part of that culture to marry like is a part of that culture you marry, is it arranged marriage or do you marry Like, wouldn't you still want to marry for love or no?
I don't think it's arranged marriages. I think it's, from what I could gather, they're like, they wanted this lifestyle and they found a person they could at least somewhat be compatible with to have that lifestyle.
So what about love?
Not necessarily. I'm sure that played some aspect of it, but you could tell like he didn't love these other ones like he loves Robin.
Oh my gosh.
That's... Which, I mean, I couldn't relate to any of those relationships.
No.
But...
Because I don't love him. I don't even like him.
He's very much being made to, like, the way the producers are cutting it and everything to be the villain.
Looks like a villain, you know? Big time.
Just the way he's going to get crucified for things that he says on the show.
Well, I wonder if him and Robin will just ultimately end up just the two of them married.
I can see that. Because I don't know that I could see him getting remarried.
I don't
to
see him
else.
Having, like, any more kids. Because he's probably late 50s, early 60s. Yeah. His kids are all grown. 10,000 of them.
I mean, his marriage to Mary was like 30 something years. So that tells you right there.
I don't know. The older I get, as much as I love my husband, I understand why people like who are in their like 40s and 50s that either become widows or who like or just get divorced, why they just stay
single.
Especially if their kids are grown. Like if you don't want more kids. And everything's fine with me and my husband. We're good. But it's just like you just kind of, it's night. Like you just
can understand.
just having that like, being able to have, like, you don't have to cook for another person, or you don't have to... Well, on the same token, it's fun having somebody to go do stuff with.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you can find that in one of your girlfriends.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, Sarah, let's go to Disney. You get your room, I'll get mine. Yeah, but you never know. Y'all catch us in about 40 years.
Yeah, see how we're doing then.
Yeah, living in the old folks' home in Florida somewhere. Yeah. All right, Sarah. Well, this was fun. And we will see y'all next week.
Bye, guys.